Welcome to the Love 'Em or Leave 'Em Relationship Summit, where we are talking openly and honestly on the topic, should I stay or should I go? I'm your host, KP Smith, and I am happy to have Kara Gould joining us today. Kara is a certified divorce coach and certified real estate divorce specialist. She is dedicated to helping people get unmarried in a clear, conscious, and compassionate way. She works with anyone thinking about ending a marriage and the process of divorce or transitioning to life after the split. A child of divorce, Kara ended her own marriage in 2009 and learned the hard way that she needed more help during those tumultuous times, complete with custody battles, depositions, co-parenting therapy and classes, high legal fees, and many sleepless nights. The good news is that she survived and even thrived. Kara is currently married to a wonderful, loving man and raising three children together as a blended family. She works with clients both in person and on the telephone or Skype, so you can live anywhere in the world and still get help. In addition to working with divorcing couples and their real estate needs, she offers private one-on-one divorce coaching as well as group support through in-person events and online webinars. Kara is the author of the upcoming book, Getting Unmarried, Redefining Happily Ever After. She is certified by the CDC Board of Standards and is a graduate of the CDC College for Divorce Coaching. Welcome, Kara.
Thank you, KP. That was an amazing introduction. I'm so happy to be here, and what an opportunity. What an opportunity to help people with this really important work.
I agree. And, you know, we've emailed each other back and forth and chatted a bit, and you know how excited I am to get into this topic. But before we do, just tell us a little bit more about yourself, if you don't mind, your own journey and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. I mean, you said everything, of course, but we could talk forever about me. But, you know, I come by this work honestly. This work speaks to me. I don't want anyone to go through it the way that I did, feeling alone or overwhelmed or like I need to reinvent the wheel. You don't. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to do this on your own. There are people that can help and help you move through this in a much better way, and as you mentioned, clear and compassionate. And, you know, you don't want to be alone. You don't want to be overwhelmed. Let someone help you. It's incredibly empowering to have a guide through this, someone to watch your back, to help you celebrate your successes, help you shift your perspective. You know, those things are all so incredibly important. So, you know, I come by this as a child of divorce, as you mentioned, going through my own divorce, and wanting to just make the whole landscape of divorce shift to a more powerful, positive world of possibility, if that makes sense.
Ooh, it does. It makes total sense. And I definitely have my own personal experience, and I can say amen and that a girl. I agree 1,000%. Agreed. As I said, I am psyched to talk to you today for two reasons. The first reason is I love your topic, and I know it's something that can be applied across the board with issues, problems, or just situations that we face in life in general. And having gone through a divorce myself, I know how important this topic is when moving on from divorce. So that's my spiel. So I want to get right into it. Today we're going to talk about having your own story, your own narrative as it relates to divorce and moving on. Again, listeners, this can be applied to any areas, but in relation to divorce, what is a divorce story?
Yeah, so before I get into divorce, I want to back up just a little bit. Like you said, like, we all have a story, right? We all have a narrative of our life. We grow up with fairy tales and movies, and we're people, you know, we love people, so we like the story of people, and we like to hear about it. And so we tend to all have stories, and divorce is no different, right? We have a story of our divorce, the same way we have a story of our life. So, and the divorce story can be something that is positive, but typically it tends to focus on the negative. And it's the story of our divorce and what happened to us. Often it's full of blame and shame and finger pointing and he did that to me and she did that to me and, you know, all these bad things that happened to us. And we tend to tell it over and over again. We dwell on it with ourselves. We tell it to anyone who will ask, whether that's a person at the grocery store or another parent at school. You know, you just, I had a client who said, I just threw up all over the person at the grocery store. They asked me how I was, and I, blah, you know, went all into this divorce story and how everything was happening to me. And, you know, the problem with having these sort of victim stories or, you know, what was done to me is that it tends to keep us stuck in the past, stuck where we are. And we reignite our pain over and over again when we tell these stories. You know, I think of it like a wound that you're just getting to heal and then you just can't help yourself and you rip it back off and you're bleeding everywhere, you know, because Your brain doesn't know that this isn't happening to you right now. Your brain relives it. It actually fires as if it was happening to you. So you're kind of just dwelling on this and strengthening those connections at the same time in your brain so that it becomes, you know, your truth with a capital T. Yeah. And this is what happened, you know. So they can be really intensely painful, intensely traumatic, and intensely limiting on what happens to you next when you're stuck in this story.
When you were talking about, when we keep saying it over and rehashing, something just popped in my head. I thought about that movie, I'm Dating Myself, was it Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? And he was living, and that's what just popped, because I know my own story and how long, you know, you just, like I said, anyone who listens, of course you want to talk to people when you're going through things, of course, but it is really, when we rehash it, we are keeping it alive and we're keeping that pain alive. And I just thought about that, just getting up and basically reliving the same day over and over and over again. That's an excellent, excellent point. You talked about people getting stuck. I totally understand that. And in your work, I read something of yours and I just loved it. I thought it was really, really fascinating. I'm not just saying that. I can't wait to read the book. You talk about what is hooking someone, keeping them stuck. And you talk about three main questions. If you could just tell us about those three main questions more and why you think they're so important.
Sure. So, you know, in any conflict or traumatic experience, there are things that hook us, that they're like our trigger buttons, you know, like those hot buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
something happens that grabs you and ensnares you in the conflict, ensnares you in the drama, ensnares you in the trauma and the pain. And one of the things we do, my clients and I do, is we go into the story in order to release it. You have to actually go into it and figure out what those buttons are. What is hooking you in that dramatic story that you're telling? You know, what do you always repeat? So I really admire the work of Tammy Lenski, and if anybody is going through any kind of conflict, which divorce is full of, it's just rife with conflict, right? She wrote a beautiful book called The Conflict Pivot, and it's called Turning Conflict into Peace of Mind. So, and I adapted my three questions from three questions that she uses. And she uses, and I'll quote hers because they're more applicable to anything, and then I'll quote mine, which are a little bit different. So hers are who is the tension or conflict with and what is it about? So you identify who it's with, who the conflict is about, which in divorce, it's your ex, right? Oh, my ex.
Yes.
And what's it about? You know, what about your divorce story is the important thing, right? So who's it with, your ex, and what's it about? And then two, what have you reacted most strongly to in the conflict? Mm. You know, what is that thing that's really hooking you? Is it, you know, that he's just not fair, or, you know, he cheated, or, you know, what is it that he's doing that, you know, is really getting you? And then three, you know, when you tell your story of the conflict to your to yourself or others, what do you focus on most? What's the thing that you keep repeating? Like, what are those what's the highlight reel of your divorce? You know, what are the things that keep repeating? You know, so we go into that when we're looking at, we don't want to spend a lot of time on the divorce story or those questions because they're painful. We just said they're like opening the wound again. So, but in order to really learn the lesson from your divorce, because you want to learn these lessons, they're incredibly painful and powerful lessons, but you need to learn them so you can take them on to the next thing and not repeat yourself. So you're not reliving this and repeating the mistakes. So you go into, so you learn about it, right? So what am I repeating? You know, what is it that really got my dander up? Like, what is it? So that you begin to say, ah, yes, that's it. You know, that's it. That's what got me. That's what hooked me. And that's, you know, that we go into that story and take those things out, pull those threads out of the story so we can really look at them and shift our perspective on those things. Does that make sense to answer your question?
No, it does. And I was just sitting here thinking, and like I said, I'm divorced and I'm in another relationship. And when you talk about dealing with those trigger points, if you don't, they come back up because it'll be something that'll happen now. And it's not even really that important, but it triggers me. Mm-hmm. And something that may be small, I'll make it big because it's not really about what Kevin is doing right now. It's about with my ex-husband, and that's my trigger point. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, it's not even that big of a deal, but
it takes me back,
and that was my hottest button. So, I totally, and it took me a while to understand that because I'm like, Kenyon, why are you tripping? It's not a big deal, but it wasn't even about that. It was unresolved things that I still had embedded in me that when it just even flickered, it was just like, I was like all over the place because it brought me back to that place.
Exactly, 100%. So if we don't acknowledge, like, that's my thing, you know, you'll take it with you. You'll take it with you. But when you recognize it, oh, that's my thing, you go, oh, there it is. Ah, that's me. That's my thing. You know, that's my noise. I can take ownership of that. And I don't have to blame Kevin.
because my trigger point, you know, was finances. So it could be something like $10. And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me you took the $10? Out of my price. And he's like, well, what? Because that was a trigger from before. It was always money and not saying what was done and not being communicated. So it could be something as $10 out of my purse. And I'm freaking out like, you know, it's $1 million. I don't have $1 million, which it is. But just trigger.
Exactly.
And just understand it. Yes, I agree.
And they can be, and you're, you know, the person you're in an intimate relationship with, they know your triggers. They know how to push your buttons. Sometimes they do it on purpose. And other times, your ex could do it all day long to you. He knows you well, and he knows how to get your goat, you know, sort of thing. So if you know what they are, it's far more difficult for them to push them because you go, oh, yeah, I see what he's doing. He's trying to engage me in that way, and I'm not going to let him because I'm aware of it, and I can be calm and not go into that rageful, crazy, unrational brain, which is your, you know, that sort of fight, flight, you know, flee, that survival system that we all have. That's what, when you get your buttons pushed, that's where you go. You go to that part of your brain that is not your frontal lobe. You can't make rational decisions anymore. You know, that's the limbic brain, which is the just ancient part of the survival system, like that you have to, you're on high alert because there's a tiger in the bush, you know, like that kind of thing, like from a bazillion years ago. That's that part of the brain, not your highly developed, rational, educated, you know, I can weigh these two decisions and create a, you know, an answer. I can respond rather than react out of craziness.
Yes. Oh my goodness, I'm just laughing because sometimes you gotta laugh, but you know, thankfully we all move on. Yes. And the next thing I want to talk about is, well, first of all, this is very powerful, and I want to talk about the power in releasing your story. But before I even get into that question, I just thought of a story when you're talking about the power of releasing it. I had a good girlfriend in town about maybe 2 weeks ago, and one of my other girlfriends lives here in New Orleans, and we all went out to dinner, and all three of us probably hadn't been physically together in maybe like 10, 15 years. We're college friends, but we would see each other, but never three of us were always in the same place at the same time physically. So it was awesome. And you're sharing, and the name of my ex-husband came up. And, you know, I just made a statement, and one of my girlfriends was like, wait, your head's not spinning, you're not turning red, and, you know, you're okay. You know, it's just, you know, so it's progress. And that's what I want to ask you about next, the power when you release all this stuff and you release your story. If you can go into what does that look like, how empowering that is. I mean, I didn't even realize it until somebody who hadn't seen me in a while mentioned that once. They heard the name, that they didn't see my head spilling or I got, you know, beat red, that I had been releasing it, even when I didn't realize day by day I had been releasing myself.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you've set it up beautifully for me. Thank you, KP. You don't get to move on until you release that story. You don't get to move on and enjoy what comes after all this hard work, you know, that the freedom to be creative and build this new life for yourself. And you don't get to do that until you release that past, until you forgive. And forgive doesn't mean excuse bad behavior or anything like that. You're forgiving for yourself. Forgiveness is what helps you release that story. You know, going in and finding the good parts about it, going in and shifting that, learning the lessons as we've been talking about so that you don't take them forward with you. You know, then also, you know, remembering those highlights, remembering the good times, being thankful for the things that were opportunities for you to learn and grow and evolve and, you know, have that beautiful sense of honor and gratitude and forgiveness that you can release that and allow yourself to start something fresh and new. So, I mean, it's all about release and it's all about you. Like, forgiveness is a gift for you. You get to let that all go so that you can move on and have a beautiful new life full of possibility and love and happiness and joy and gratitude, appreciation, all these wonderful things that can't happen if you're still stuck in the anger and the victim and the resentment and the revenge and the et cetera.
No, exactly. And it's nothing new. And I knew when I was allowing myself to be stuck what I was doing, but there's just something about just, you know, being in that place of anger and really having to get to the point, you know, of release. Because none of this stuff is new, but it's just that when we're in it, it's so, or we can allow it to be so difficult. But I think it is difficult.
And not to interrupt you, but I think you raise an important point, which you can't jump from, you know, depression and anger and revenge all the way to appreciation and bliss. You know, like it's not, this is not a quantum leap. You actually have to go in there, do the work, be where you are with your emotions, go through the process of what was my story? What do I say? What did I learn? Where am I getting hooked? How am I going to release that, move forward? You know, it's a step-by-step process. You don't get to skip over any of it to get to the happy ending. You know, you have to reinvent. You do have to rewrite. That involves many iterations of this story and slowly moving through it.
I love that rewrite. Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how many revisions I've had over the last 10 years. My goodness. A whole bunch of revisions. But I love that. And you can't. And one thing I know I wanted to do, I wanted to skip over steps. And you can't skip over any steps. You have to face each one, you know, head on as much as you can and really go through the process. You know, and it is a process. And whenever I'm talking to people, that's my word. Even when I'm talking about, it's a process. But even through the process, we can still find joy in being thankful to be alive and still have good days while we're going through the process. And that's what I try to do. Because 100%. We're living and we can get those times, that time back.
Absolutely.
And you also talk about, and we're talking about power and releasing our story, you talk about the power of now. How I just love that phrase, the power of now, because we hear that's all we ever have is, but they say, yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not promised, all we have is right now. So tell us more about the power of now.
Sure. Well, I cannot take credit for that phrase. There's a very popular book by the title of it, and I recommend everyone run out and read it. But it is absolutely essential that we recognize that all our power is in the now. All we have is now. Like, this is essential to be present and in the moment with whatever we're doing and wherever we are. You know, we need to stop and just realize, okay, where am I? I'm here. I'm now. So if we're spending all our time saying that divorce story, repeating what happened to us in the past, getting angry, re-triggering all the things that happened to us, bringing back up all that trauma, et cetera, that holds us back then. And we can't change that. We can't change any of that, like what happened, and we can just relive it over and over again. You know, what we can do now is make new choices. We can choose new words to describe what happened to us in the past. And words have an incredible power. And they lead to emotions, and emotions lead to beliefs, and beliefs lead to actions, and actions lead to your new life and a whole new way of thinking and moving through the world. So if we can just change our language, even in the present moment, I'm going to choose today, right now, different words, and that is going to lead to this whole chain reaction. You know, I'm going to choose neutral language to describe this, or I'm going to choose positive language to describe this. I'm going to reframe the narrative, and that is going to train my brain over time, and I'm going to make a conscious choice every day to do it. Hey, was that a positive thought? Was that a neutral thought? Like, I'm going to do that now, and it's going to create new connections in my brain, like what I'm talking about, and it's going to set in motion what's going to happen for me tomorrow. Like, I can choose today over and over again how I want my life to be. And that is powerful. I can choose how I'm going to act in this moment. I choose what words I say. I choose, I notice my emotions. Where am I today? Like, I'm going to notice those emotions and make a conscious effort to be in the present with those emotions, because I'm going to move through them so that I can get somewhere. Very powerful. That.
It is. And when you said that to change your language, it could be, even if I'm having a day where I'm not physically feeling better, and I know thoughts and words can be, I'm physically not feeling good, but if I will just make myself not think I don't feel bad as much, or, you know, when everybody calls, how you been? Oh, I'm here, I don't feel, you know, and just, I still feel bad, but it's not my focus. It hasn't taken over my day. When I can just change my language, change my attitude, it makes all the difference. And I find that a lot, even if I'm not feeling physically or mentally well, you know, there is power in just changing that, your words and even your attitude. It's amazing when you really start practicing it, that it really, really works.
Yes. And it's simple. It's simple. We just need to bring our attention to it. Just start with your attention. What you bring your attention to is huge. That's what becomes your reality.
Intention and attention. And I think sometimes we're not intentional enough. But when we become intentional, it's amazing how things can change. And I love that.
Have your intention and then bring your attention intention, right? Because that's what makes it real. That's what brings the power to it. What we give our attention to is huge. Are we going to put our attention on the past, or are we going to put our attention on our intention for building this better life?
Awesome. Like I said, Kara, when I going through this process, I had a gazillion revisions, because just like you, when I was reading your information, I was like, where were you 10 years ago, 11 years ago? Oh my goodness. You know, I learned mine the hard way. But for people that are hopefully listening can benefit from your knowledge and from your experience, just like I had those revisions, they're saying, look, I hear you, you know, I'm stuck, you know, I'm stuck with a negative mindset. I'm stuck with a negative divorce story or any story. What's the best way for them to begin to rewrite the story? Is there a particular process you recommend to your clients?
Yes. Are we still there?
Yes. Go ahead. I think we just had a smidgen, but we're back. Thanks.
Good. So, yes, we We start with looking at the divorce story. I ask them to share their divorce story with me, and we go into it, and we pay attention to where kind of those, we look at those questions that we outlined earlier and see if we can pull out the threads. And, you know, people can do this, obviously, with someone like me who's a divorce coach or trained in this work. They can do it on their own. They can journal. They can write down the story and ask the questions. They can do it with a friend, someone they're close to. I would say to choose your audience wisely, because, you know, there's some people who would be better at this than others. You want someone who's going to kind of listen and be patient and be an advocate and not get kind of riled up by the story, because a lot of people, like my mother, for example, I know she would be on my side no matter what, so she's going to get emotional. She's going to get emotional about the story, too. You want someone a little more neutral than that. You know, that's wonderful, and I love my mom so, but, you know your audience. Go to someone who can be supportive but maybe a little more objective, and help you kind of pull out those themes that you see through your story and where you're getting hooked and things like that. So, you know, it's that's where I would start.
Excellent. And we've kind of talked about it, but just to kind of sum it up, if you could give us a brief explanation of, so that we can compare with a healthy divorce story versus an unhealthy divorce story.
Right.
Doesn't
so
have to be wrong.
An unhealthy one is, oh, you know, my ex is such a jerk, and he's so unfair to me, and he cheated on me, and he left me with no money, and, you know, he never comes and sees the kids, and I gave him the best years of my life, and, you know, it's just, it can be a rant, it can be finger pointing, not a lot of ownership, not a lot of, you know, what was my part in it. And then, you know, a healthy one, obviously, when we do the work and we shift it, it's long at first. You know, we're going through all the points and kind of shifting the language to something a little more positive. And ultimately, I think a healthy divorce story is one that's short and sort of concise, uses neutral language if possible. You know, we both did the best that we could. We've moved on. We want different things. You know, just short. So when someone says, oh, you know, what happened in your divorce, it's concise, it's a couple sentences, and it's neutral or positive. You know, I really learned a lot in my first marriage. It was full of amazing learning opportunities for me. And now I'm in a much, you know, better place with a great partner who suits me better. You know, something simple. And honest. I'm always about authenticity and honesty. You know, no making things up. But just there's always a way to say it in a more neutral or positive way.
Love that. Neutral or positive language. I think I meant neutral, but I will try to work on positive. How about that? I don't know if I'm there. I don't know if I've gotten to positive, but at least I'm at neutral. So I'm going to pat one shoulder on the back.
Excellent.
And say good. Atta girl, I've got to do this.
Atta girl, Katie.
Thank you. I work on positive. Oh, this has been so wonderful. As I said in the beginning, I was so excited and so looking forward to this because of my own personal journey. And then also, I just think this is just so beneficial to people no matter what's going on in your life. It could be divorce. It could be you're having marital problems, but you want to save your marriage. The same thing applies. This is really more of a mindset and an attitude set, for lack of a better term, topic we're talking about. It. So thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to thank you in advance for that awesome free gift you're about to tell us about.
Oh, sure. So you mentioned how do I take my clients through their divorce story. So I've created a worksheet that I feel is very helpful and hope that people will be able to do it more on their own if they want to try this on their own. So the worksheet is very detailed and leads you through step by step how to go into your divorce story, how to identify your hooks, and then also how to rewrite it into more neutral, positive language.
Awesome. Where were you 10 years ago? But I'm using positive language. I've moved on.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you so much again for being here. And listeners, I want to tell you how to get that free gift. You can get it one of two ways. There's a link inside of the email that you received this morning, and also there's going to be a link right below this audio. You can use either one to access that awesome, awesome, awesome worksheet that Kara has gifted us with. And before I let you go, I do have one final question that I'm asking all of my experts. What do you think is the most important consideration when determining if to stay or go in a relationship and or marriage? Oh,
that is a very powerful question. And, you know, deciding whether to leave or stay in your marriage is an incredibly personal decision, one that I work with my clients on a lot. And it's a hard one, and it's one I caution my clients to not stay there very long. It's a very hard place to stay, painful. So the first thing I usually ask my clients is, do you have anything left to give? And I say it in that way because sometimes they just don't. And it's just an easy way to be like, no, I really don't. I feel like I've given everything. And then I say, I think your answer is pretty clear. If they say, yes, I do have more I want to give, I say, all right, then let's think about that. What can we give? And I do think human nature is really reciprocal. So if you're willing to give more to your marriage and we outline in ways that you can give, usually the other person feels like giving something too. So that's my go-to question. So I'll leave it at that.
I love it. Do you have anything left to give? Perfect, 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 perfect way to end this. Muchas gracias again for being here and sharing this awesome topic with us. My listeners, thank you so much for being here and for joining us for the Love 'Em or Leave 'Em Relationship Summit. Remember to check your inbox tomorrow for the next set of interviews. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye.